The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Cleaning Nation, Mike Campion here with Ronald and Samaya Brown with two Y's, by the way, just in case you to challenge my literacy, which ain't great to start. Two Y's, Samaya. And it'd get Brown, the easiest last name in the whole wide world. And Samaya, not the hardest first name, but ain't the easiest. That's for a day, I'm sure. They started Joyful Haven Cleaning, August 2019. They're in Tacoma, Washington. They do both residential and commercial. I already told them I'd yell at them later. They're mostly out of cleaning, which is fantastic. And I am so excited to introduce them to you, Cleaning Nation. And before I kind of let them say hello, for those of you joining us on YouTube or on the video, when you see their smiles, they're clearly Joyful Haven Cleaning. Like, they just lovely smiles. They're just like, they make me like 12% more joyful just being able to see them. So that said, what do you people have to say for yourselves?
Hey guys, how are you? Samaya with two Y's.
Samaya with two Y's. Mike with one I, just so you know. So we play that. Ronald, hopefully with one R.
Yeah. Well, I love that my wife introduced.
So something is, I think their home is currently on fire. So this might like go a little faster on this podcast so we can get them and their family out safely. But
next to a fire station down the street. So it's
holy heck. All right, hold on. We're going to talk cleaning. But when you moved in, did you know that and just say we're going to take our lumps or did you find out after you moved in?
After we moved in, it wasn't even right away. It was like weeks later. And then all of a sudden
you realized
renting.
Okay, yeah. So we at some point if it, you're probably like, well, we're out, best luck, new renter.
Good luck, guys. No.
Oh man, anyway, well I like to let my wife start off because she's the great storyteller. She shares it very well and she's the brains. I'm just kind of here, you know.
Holy heck, totally Samaya with two eyes, this dude's a keeper. Like,
he is a keeper, but not for that reason, not for lying. He just lied to you. So I guess I started Joyful Haven Cleaning August of 2019. And it was honestly intuition. That's really what it was. I really felt like I was supposed to start this business. I had worked at a big box company for 17 years. And we had just recently had our now 3-year-old son. And I wasn't happy. And I knew it was just time for me to do something else. And so I had always really been into cleaning. I had worked off and on with one of my girlfriends in her cleaning company, and I just loved it. I loved the passion and I just could really get behind it. So I just started my own thing, jumped in with both feet, had no clue on what I was doing on the business aspect. The cleaning side I knew, but the business aspect had no clue, and ended up with a business partner. Out of fear for myself, just so for anybody out there, if you feel called to do something, don't jump in with someone out of fear. Just do it because you're called to do it.
Hold on. I got to jump in. You just touched on something really important we see all the time. So two things I heard that I want to make sure Cleaning Nation doesn't miss. And we're going to finish your story, but you're dropping like gems here that I'll make sure we pick up. So first of all, I love the self-awareness of like, this isn't what I want for my life. Mm-hmm. And the intuition, you know, like there's a reason I've never heard the phrase men's intuition. I'm sure we got a little of it, but that bandied about a little, my intuition would be smart enough to marry a chick that's got great intuition in my bride. Ronald's like, I'm with you, baby. So, I love that you were in tune enough with yourself to be like, hey, this isn't what I'm looking for and willing to make a change. And what you said about, getting a partner, having for 25 years now, I've had my own business. I've been coached. I've been in masterminds for years at a time. And by far the number one headache problem issue is partners. Rarely, 1 in 100 might be a good partnership. And 99 when they're bad, they're not just a little bit, they're really a bit bad. So if you're going to have a partner, I probably wouldn't be something I'd coach you on, but I wouldn't fight you on it until I love that you're honest enough with your own self and your own surroundings to go, I did it out of fear. So it's one thing if Samaya and I meet and I've got,
I'm really good at client attraction. I've got this really good skill, but man, am I terrible with any sort of operations and hiring. And she's the opposite. And we strategically decide to get together and combine our skills. There's still a very real possibility that Samaya decides that she and her husband want to do this and me and my wife want to do that. It may not even be wrong. Like, we just have different visions and there could be some conflict, or, you know, maybe I'm just a dirtbag and I like cheat and steal and Samaya stuck with me, right? You never know. I didn't want to make you the dirtbag, Samaya. She's like, oh no, that was my experience. Yeah. So there's kind of like best case. So best case is we just hold hands and skip like off into the sunset. Samaya's laughing. She's like, I don't think that's going to happen, dude. I like you and I don't think that's going to happen. Second best case would be we're both honest people of integrity, but my life and what I want out of work and life is over here. And then Samaya's a little different, but we're both good people. We kind of have to find a way to part friends or just work that out. And then worst case, which is very realistic, is one guy or gal is just a complete, they don't tell the truth, or they're just, it's not an integrity match. So if you're going to take a chance, which I recommend you not, at least have some sort of strategic thing, right? As opposed to me going to Samaya going, I'm terrified to do this alone. And Samaya going, I'm terrified to do this alone. Maybe we should do it together. Very common. So I'm not judging cleaning or even Samaya, but great opportunity to save that. And then the second thing you said, God bless it. It was so good. I didn't want to miss it. You're talking about starting and you found your friend. Oh, very, very common for people to go, I know how to clean and I'm very clear on what I want. I have no freaking business savvy or experience at all. Nothing to be ashamed of. The shameful part is not to recognize that and go, I better fix it. I better go figure it out. The problem is so many of us are really comfortable cleaning or doing like our comfort zone stuff. And we're just going to stay here and never figure it out. We're just going to do what's comfortable, which is fine, but you're never going to grow. So I love A, that you were like, I'm looking to grow, and B, you recognize, most people don't recognize that partner thing. Like, I was just scared. Like, it wasn't, you know, we make up a bunch of stuff like, oh, they've got capital, or we think it's some strategic alliance. Just, I love that you're honest. You're like, nope, I was scared. It kind of bit me right in the butt. All right, back to Samaya.
And so what's interesting is I was scared and I didn't, scared of failure and just not really sure of how to make everything happen. And so I jumped in and unfortunately, it did not work for my, it did not work in my favor. and so in February of the following year, 2020, we ended up parting ways and, I lost everything because of corruptness. Basically, it was a lot of fraudulent stuff that happened. And, I had to start from scratch all over again. And I was okay with that because I knew the vision I had and the vision I wanted was different than what we were doing. And I also knew that I was called to this. And when I feel like you're called to something, everything works out the way it's supposed to. And so I felt like I had lost a huge weight and I was able to now reinvent and recreate this the way I felt like it was really supposed to go. And this time with a lot more confidence in self. And so that was right before the pandemic happened. And I gotten a couple clients and it was great. And then all of a sudden the pandemic happened and ironically I blew up. I ended up with 30 new clients in 20 days and, it was just me. And so it was a lot to take on. And my husband was, currently employed. And so he was helping me out any chance he could, taking days off, using vacation time, all the things to help me out because it just got really, really full. And in that pandemic, he actually lost his job. He was laid off, but we were doing so well in the cleaning business by that point that the cleaning income almost quadrupled his income that he was bringing in. So we didn't lose anything on that end. And so we just, from that point, we've just been growing. And I, when you mentioned it's, I was giggling in my head when you said that, what was it about fighting, you know, knowing like, oh, I'm good at this or fighting, like how to do things. I'm very strong-willed and very determined. And I don't always know what's right. And so ironically enough, this one is, he calls me the face, but this is literally the brains behind everything. There would be honestly and truthfully no Joyful Haven without this guy because he came in And the first couple months were really hard, to be honest. I'm not sure how we're still married. And I say that honestly, because we were struggling relation-wise, just because I was just fighting him on everything, because I had it my way and I wanted them my way, but he had a completely different vision and understanding of structure and how to implement things and all the things. And so finally, when I decided to get out of the way and just back off, things really, it just like shot up, like everything took off in such a great way. And he automated everything and put a lot of procedures and structures and things in place that really has benefited us in an amazing way. And so that's what we are.
It's been rough though. We still have a lot to work on. But another thing to add to that, which you didn't say, we didn't know we were pregnant either.
Oh yeah.
So we were
surprise.
Yeah. So we had
Is that your first baby?
Our third.
Okay. Not that it makes it any less, actually it might make it even harder, right. But it just context wise.
Right.
So you already got two at home and
and an older kid.
We have a 22-year-old. I have a 22-year-old from past. We have a 3-year-old. So big gap. And then we have a 3-month-old.
So, but for those of you who can't see, Samaya looks like 31 and a half. Like that's the pretty bold. She's looking good for I've got a 23-year-old. And when I was younger, people were like, oh, you look so young to have a kid. Now they're like, I'm like, I have a 23-year-old. Like, yeah, okay. Like, so it kind of like makes sense with Samaya. If you see, you're like, where'd you start? Yeah. But yeah, I've got a 23-year-old and a 5-year-old. Yeah, when you're 12, yeah, I'm doing the math. Yeah, 12 sounds about right. A 23-year-old and a 5-year-old, and my wife has no more ovaries, so we are like done and done. Yeah, no uterus, like for other reasons.
We're good.
But yeah, we are. If she gets pregnant, it is definitely by the will of God, and we'll take that baby. that would be impressive.
The next Jesus, got it.
Yeah, she always says like Dr. Eccles has some explaining to do. If she gets pregnant because she's supposedly not equipped. So, all right, but there's so much, we haven't got to you guys' question, but there's one other thing I want to mention, for two other things. One, I love when you're like, I started over. Mm. I would say you started out, you said from scratch. So I agree you started over, but not from scratch. I think you really took away an education and a clarity that if the time doesn't feel all that valuable compared to what you perceive to have lost, but I think that's a big deal. The second thing I want everyone to get is we're all going to have some version, our version of the pandemic, we all had that version, but a version of losing a partner, getting pregnant right in the middle of things getting wacky, a pandemic locally or globally or whatever the case may be. And so many people externalize and go, well, we got pregnant, not my fault. Well, my partner's a dirtbag, not my fault. Well, the pandemic had, not my fault. And maybe they're your fault, maybe they're not. But you don't really have any control. Once you're pregnant, you're pregnant. Right. Once the pandemic hits the globe, the pandemic is at the globe. And once you're in bed, partner-wise with someone that's not ideal, that's where you are. So how you responded, I think, is really the power in that. So you seem to just be taking that on naturally, but that's a big deal. Most people don't. And holy heck, we coach a lot of folks who are married and have a business. My wife up until 2 or 3 years ago is pretty involved in our businesses, and it is freaking tough. And man, you guys are a great example of support and what that should look like. It's not easy. We talk about how hard partners are, hard enough when you're not sleeping with them, but when you're like raising a family and I need you to, if your partner doesn't like you, that's kind of okay. If it's a business, not ideal, but you can live with it. But when that guy or gal comes home and gets in bed with you and raises your kids with you, whole different kettle of fish.
Right. Exactly. And still doesn't like you. Then that's a total different dynamic. Right.
Right. So I love that you guys navigate your way through that. So I have so many things and thoughts, but I want to make sure we get to the coaching you want. So question you had for me, how may I serve you all today?
Oh yeah, we just wanted to know, like, what's the proper percentage to withhold out of our business for taxes?
All right, so there's two questions embedded in that. One would be for our friend the government. A little bit of sarcasm when I say our friend,
right?
As much as I like roads and police and schools and all the other nonsense that they provide, the 60 some percent or whatever we pay, whatever. They're not always super effective and efficient with money, but so there's really two parts. How much, and depending, so one of them, I'm going to give just the best answer I can. One of them is a tax question, which really has to do with your personal situation. How is your company incorporated? Do you have other income? What kind of retirement plans do you have in place? What is your income this year compared to last year? What do you expect it to be next year? How old are you? What are your goals financially for retirement? There's just a lot of stuff that kind of is embedded into that. Mm-hmm. So it would be irresponsible, even if I was a tax expert, which I'm not, certainly not a licensed CPA. Even if I was that, it'd be irresponsible for me to go 16%. Like, so like, right. That would be like you guys going, what does a car cost? And me giving you an answer. It's like, well, I have 37 questions I have to ask you before I can give you a fair answer. So without kind of chickening out, I'd rather give you better coaching. I would find a specific tax professional in your area, or at least that knows the laws of your state. Cause if you're in the States, which I know you are in Washington, we've got federal taxes, which any CPA global or in the United States can, or licensed in the United States can do. State taxes, which I don't know if you guys have in Washington. And then oftentimes there's local taxes. So you just need a professional accountant that can really look at your situation. A lot of times people do stuff like, oh, I'll do Quicken or, you know, I don't even know what they're called, like, you know, some sort of automated tax thing. And if you both of you have a W-2 job and just make your money and maybe have a deduction for your house, maybe you don't, that can make sense. But when you have a business, there's a lot of opportunity for deductions that you'll want to take. So, and again, there's depending on your circumstance, you might have to pay annually or quarterly, or there's just all sorts of different ways the government can get in your pocket and be like, here's what you owe. I forget who it was. Some billionaire wrote a note with his taxes going, I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on accountants trying to help me figure out this tax thing, and we still don't know what's right. Here you go. Oh, here's, wow. Here's our best guess. So,
jeez.
Yeah, for me, without knowing a lot more details and certainly without being a licensed certified public accountant, for me to go, here's a percentage for you would make no sense. But the general answer, and we're going to talk more about profit because I can't answer you on that. That's a much more specific answer. But the tax situation, I guess what I would say is find someone that is an expert in taxes and get their feedback. The one thing I will tell you is the mistake I made as a business owner for a long time was I would let my CPA give me financial advice. And oftentimes CPAs aren't that good at running businesses. So yeah. I would expect my CPA to be more than what they were, and they're not. So just okay. As I'm like, if we were talking off air and I could have some more personal information about you, I could give you some generalized tax information, but I go, I'm not an expert. I know more than average bear because I paid a crap ton of taxes, and I paid tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars of people to make sure I'm paying the least legal amount of taxes that we pay. So I know some things, but I would still tell you, consult an expert. The problem is a lot of times CPAs don't do that. They'll start giving you business advice and they're not an expert. So rarely are they an expert. If they are, they're general and they're not even in your business. So I would encourage you not to listen to a Yahoo like me who knows a lot about business, but isn't a tax advisor. Don't listen to me on, you know, listen to what I have to say, but obviously go to a professional that's what they do for the real like advice. Same with your CPA, not just the Browns, but Cleaning Nation. When your CPA starts spouting off about business stuff, I'm not saying you can't listen, but really feed it against someone that knows what they're talking about. So just make sure. Same with labor law, right? If you're like, hey, what kind of, is this a legal ad to put in my area? I'm like, I don't know, man. You need a labor lawyer in Seattle. I don't know if that's discriminatory or legal, or I can give you feedback on if it's effective from a business perspective, but I'm going to tell you, talk to a labor lawyer. A labor lawyer is going to tell you if it's legal. He's going to be garbage at telling you if it's effective or not. So does that make sense in terms of kind of when and how to use professionals? Okay. So now let's talk about profit, which I'm a lot more confident on. So basically there's a profit. And then after that, you got to get with your tax person about how do we divvy that up between Team Brown and Team America, right? Mm-hmm. So what we coach is a 50-30-20 breakdown. So 50% of your revenue should be cost of goods sold. Mm-hmm. I love that you guys aren't cleaning, right? So mm-hmm. If you've got $10,000 a month in revenue, $5,000 should go to cost of goods sold, right? Okay. And I know a lot of you guys are like, oh, I just do it myself, so it's free. Okay, I get free. It's a pretty relative term. It just costs you your life. Other than that, sure, I guess it's free. Like
time, no big deal.
Yeah, your life. Yeah, a day at a time, a year at a time. If that's what you want to pay, then go get them. It's so funny because so few of us get into this business going, I want to be a cleaner. I want to clean toilets till I die. But then they go, oh, I clean because it's free. I'm like, what are you thinking, dude? You could have got a job cleaning for money. Like, why would you have known it? So 50% for cost of goods sold. 30% for overhead, which is all expenses, not cost of goods sold, marketing, professional development, lawyers, all the kind of stuff that we're talking about that's not physically doing the cleaning or the providing the service or product that you sell. 30% would be cost of goods sold and cleaning. 20% would be profit. this is specific to the cleaning industry, right? If you talk to your CPA, he might go, that's way too high or way too low, depending on, for supermarkets, 20% profit would be way too high, right? They make like 4% margin. For a coaching company, it'd be way too low, right? So that, again, that's why you want to kind of have specialized expertise that knows what the heck they're talking about. So generally, that's what I'd break down my, my profit and loss statement into. And if I'm not making at least 20% profit, I'm going to first, culprits probably cost of goods sold. And people think, oh, I'll grind my people and see if I can get them to do it a little quicker, pay a little less wages. It's almost never that. It's almost always raising prices. We're not charging enough. The 30% overhead, same thing, like, oh, my overhead's too high. That is where we cut, right? So you can either sell your way out of it, right? If I've got a $10,000 company, my overhead should be $3,000 a month. That's 30%. If it's at $4,000 a month, I can either cut it down to 3,000 by turning stuff off or firing stuff or whatever, or I can sell my way out of it by getting $2,000 a month of new clients. So my overhead grows. The big thing I want to get is people usually swing one way to another. First, they start doing everything on their own and they don't have any overhead. So no marketing, no professional development, no insurance. They don't have all the stuff they need. They're like, I make a 92% profit. It's like, you don't have a business, you get a job, right? That'd be like me working at Walmart going, I keep 92% of my paycheck after taxes. Like, yeah, it's a job. Of course you're having expenses, knucklehead. It's not a job. It's not a business. It's just a job, right? And then the other side, they'll swing and start, once they realize, I don't want to clean, I don't want to work at Walmart, I don't want to, you know, I want to have a real business. They start hiring and paying for all the stuff, which is great, but they don't have any criterion around it. And then the profit goes to zero. So you can make a mistake by going, I have no profit and that's okay. It's not. Cool thing about the cleaning business, you can make profit at every level. Or going the other way, going, I'm not going to have any overhead. I don't need marketing. I don't need professional development. I don't need insurance. I don't need accounting. I don't need QuickBooks. I don't need anything. Great. You might not, and you'll make an extra nickel today, but tomorrow, you know, that's not a sustainable business. All right. Questions, comments, rude remarks before we wrap this thing up?
No,
that was really good. Yeah. Thank you for those numbers. Yeah. I'm the numbers guy.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I need to hear. And I actually watched you before on numbers. So thank you. That makes perfect sense.
Cool. Glad if we're giving you value, we're giving other members of Cleaning Nation value. So Cleaning Nation, to sum up, be real careful of partners. If you are going to have a partner, make sure it's your partner for life. And even then, my two cents is if and when, and God bless Samaya and Ronald for not getting there. But if it was, hey, it's this business and us partnering or our marriage, kill the business, separate the partner, always put the marriage before the business. I promise you there's no business worth sacrificing that relationship. And really just be humble, like Samaya going, hey, I know what I know and I'm real pigheaded. That's good. All that's entrepreneurial type stuff that you need. And at some point you need to go, but I don't know how to do this. Be okay going, I'm good at this and this. I ain't so great at that. And I'm going to find someone that is great at that. And I'm just going to pay them, ask them, whatever, however that looks. I'm going to get squeeze out that brain juice and put it in my brain as opposed to just trying to know everything. All right. Cleaning Nation, appreciate the heck out of you. If you're like, hey, I need more, I want more, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. We've got over 600 podcasts. There is a online masterclass that's completely free and on demand. I would start there. Check it out. We'll see you there. Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. I don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.